Yo, what's going on, everybody? It's Sam Pierce here, and Jose is sick today on the sixth episode of After the Count. Oh, no, he's not sick. He's out with an injury. Sorry, I messed that up.
Yeah.
But filling in for Jose is the one, the only, Frank.
I hope there's only one of me. It'd be really weird if there was another.
Like, yeah.
A clone.
Yeah, that'd be scary.
A little.
Like imposter Frank.
Like, one of me is enough, I feel. Imposter. The thing is, I don't wear a mask. And
yeah. Might be hard to pull off.
I think I should wear a mask.
Yeah, that'd be badass.
That would be.
Regardless, Survivor Series is in the books this past Sunday, and it was pretty much what we expected.
Average at best,
show.
If you ask me.
Yeah, a few embarrassing things happened, but we'll get into those as we start our Survivor Series review. So with that, let's do it. First up, we had the kickoff match, and that saw The Miz take on Kofi Kingston. Miz turned heel the previous week on Raw.
Or so we thought.
I don't know what's going on with this guy. I mean, face incredibly stale and boring. And
cheesy and obnoxious,
yeah,
and annoying. All the things a heel should be.
Yeah, exactly. And, like, the thing is, he was a good spokesperson, they felt, for the company, you know? And I think it just didn't fit his personality to be a face, regardless if he was a good talker to promote, you know, charity work for the company and stuff. It just didn't work.
Absolutely.
So he took on Kofi Kingston here in the kickoff match. And I said last week, The Miz has, you know, been demoted to kickoff show guy. I think he's been in more pre-show matches than
anyone else.
Yeah. And this was a
decent match.
Yeah, it was.
I didn't catch all of it. I came in a little late. The finish was pretty hot. The series of pinfalls or attempted pinfalls,
yeah,
was neat.
I thought it was
a bit of a throwback.
Yeah, I thought it was a little bit slow developing, that series of pinfalls. But
yeah.
Regardless, it made for a decent kickoff match. Nothing in the realm of Usos, Shield, and Money in the Bank, best
right.
kickoff match ever.
That's the benchmark.
Yeah, and that's what it should be. It should get you pumped for the show. And a lot of the time, you know, most of the crowd's not even in their seats yet. None of the lights are on in the crowd. It has a very damp feeling to
yeah.
it, you know? The Miz went over here, thank God. If this heel turn was going
to
be successful, you can't
have
to
win here.
Yeah, and yeah. I read a lot of predictions, actually. And I saw a lot of people were predicting that Kofi Kingston would win here. And I don't know where they saw that coming from.
And neither do I.
Decent kickoff match, nonetheless,
yep.
though, and it's the right way to do it, I guess.
Yep, right finish.
The opening match at Survivor Series was the traditional 5-on-5 elimination match. No real build up.
Nope.
But a lot of good guys. A lot of good, probably like
showcased a hell of a lot of talent.
Yeah.
Most of which are a large part of WWE's future: The Shield, Cody Rhodes, The Usos. As far as the tag teams go.
Rey Mysterio thrown into there randomly
yeah.
in the last week.
Gives him something to do.
Pretty poor performance overall in this match. Very limited. Obviously still not ready to go. And I just mean like...
He's on his last legs.
Literally, you know?
Yeah.
Like so many knee surgeries. And I just think it's not exciting anymore.
It's painful to watch at times too. I feel sorry for him.
Yeah.
Because he used to be able to go and put on some fantastic
yeah.
matches.
So... This match really did not take
didn't take into consideration the people they should be building.
No,
right?
And except, you know, Soul Survivor
for Roman Reigns. This match seemed to take place solely to put Roman Reigns over, which is fine.
Which came out of nowhere, though. It's good.
It is good.
I think it's a good thing. I love Roman Reigns. I've said previously that he is going to be the most successful star of the Shield in the future because WWE
likes
big guys.
But for a big guy, he's a fantastic wrestler.
Exactly.
He's impressed me and exceeded expectations. I want all three to be successful, and I think all three will be members
yeah.
of the Shield, that is. But it's pretty clear that Roman Reigns is the guy to get the first big push. And this match seemed to be the catalyst for that.
This match got a lot of time, thank God. And, that you know, the pay-per-view actually ended at around 2:43. So it was a little bit short on time.
Yeah.
When they were formatting this, I guess they just didn't really have anything to fill it with. You could have put in a filler match somewhere. Sure, no, it wouldn't have been good, but I hate to see the pay-per-view end so early at 2:43, you know?
Especially
Raw is longer. Raw goes over 3 hours most weeks, you know?
Then again, it does have commercials.
That is true. That is true.
Make of that what you will.
Yeah.
Perhaps the main event was cut short as well. That's another possibility.
Yes.
Well, because that match was shorter than the Divas 7-on-7, which we will discuss later.
Rightfully so, though, because we'll get into that main event.
Absolutely.
Very bad match. Dean Ambrose was the first guy eliminated.
Surprisingly.
Here.
I expected maybe Goldust to go first.
I thought one of the Usos.
Or the Usos.
Although,
or Swagger.
That's what I mean. Ambrose, he's the only one in the Shield who has singles gold.
Right.
And they did kind of make up for this the next night on Raw.
Because he got the pinfall on Cody.
Felt like it made Ambrose look really bad.
Yeah, absolutely. These matches should be used to showcase talent because you have a bunch of people in the ring. And Ambrose didn't really get his moment to shine.
And why was Goldust in the match longer than Cody? Why was Cody Rhodes eliminated before Goldust was? That really bugged me.
I have no answer to that question.
I mean, I understand Goldust very over right now.
Right.
Maybe the silly character connects, No question. A lot of older fans
in
the crowd.
Exactly. It's the nostalgia.
Yeah, exactly. And WWE maybe doesn't look into the future as much as they should. I think Cody Rhodes is a future world champion without a doubt.
Well, yeah, without a doubt.
I was just confused as to why Goldust was in the match longer than Rhodes.
I guess it's just a case of questionable booking.
This was the
match of the night.
Match of the night.
I agree.
Only above average match on Survivor Series, I believe.
It was still good. It was exciting.
Yeah.
But this is the second pay-per-view in a row where the opening tag team contest has been the best match.
Yeah.
And three pay-per-views in a row where The Shield has had the best match of the night in a tag team.
Honestly, if you're going to get a match that's going to be above 3 stars, it's going to involve the Rhodes
Shield.
Or The Shield.
Exactly.
That's it. Very good match.
Yep.
I initially thought that Big E Langston should have defeated Curtis Axel for the IC belt at Survivor Series, and I'm sticking with that thought. Why are they having so many moments on Raw and not on the pay-per-view?
Sorry about that.
Sometimes random things happen. That's okay. But nonetheless, I feel like they're having so many moments on Raw that they should be having on pay-per-view.
Yeah, absolutely. The Intercontinental title needs all the help it can to regain prestige, and so do the pay-per-views.
Yeah.
Having this happen on the pay-per-view would work twofold in promoting the Intercontinental Championship as something worth fighting for and the pay-per-view as something special.
Exactly. And I mentioned that when Big E Langston beat Axel for the IC belt, it was the most socially active segment on Raw. And WWE did have a lot of social competition on Sunday, big Sunday Night Football, and as well
American Music Awards,
yeah.
I want to say.
Which, obviously, I'm not that interested in.
What are you talking about?
I like Taylor Swift and Miley
Florida,
Cyrus.
Florida Georgia Line.
Oh, I do love them, of course. Mm-hmm. But, yeah, I mean, the crowd was dead, even though they love Langston. When it's a generic rematch and such an obvious outcome,
yeah. There's no reason to care.
Hey, look, wrestling fans may not be the brightest people in the world, but we know wrestling. If we know one thing, it's wrestling.
Yes.
You know? And yeah, it was very obvious Langston would retain here.
Average match.
Nothing special, but I feel like a new title win, a new champion celebration will have added so much.
Yeah, absolutely.
And I just felt like a lot of things on this pay-per-view, we weren't really getting our money's worth. Next up, we had the 7-on-7 Elimination Divas Survivor Series Traditional, whatever this thing was. And apparently, the Divas are not very good shape, as they can only take one move before getting eliminated.
Or two, if you're lucky.
And they actually botched the finish of this match.
Yes. Well, the commentators did,
yes,
at least.
Yeah. Shows you
how much they cared, right?
They were obviously not paying
attention. Listen, if the commentators don't care, why should the viewer care?
No, exactly. And we've talked about that in recent weeks. JBL, respect the guy, legend.
Yes.
Doesn't take it serious enough. He does not take it seriously, and it really comes across. It ruins it for the viewer.
Commentary is a lost art in wrestling, unfortunately.
Yeah. And Natalia and Brie Bella were the sole survivors.
Nikki Bella.
Oh, was it Nikki?
Yes.
I get the. I only know by boob size. That's right, how I can differentiate. That too. Anyway, it was announced that Natalia was the sole survivor, even though it was the two. AJ taps out. I assume Natalia is the number one contender, but
I guess
she's not.
But what
win.
Does that? What does a win over the champion mean these days? The champion's always losing.
Yeah, there's nothing too special here. Although it did get more time than it did. I assumed it was going to end in like a huge brawl and just be a no contest.
Maybe that
thumbs up for that. I guess I don't know.
I was going to say that might have been the better outcome. Get this match out of the way as soon as possible.
Sorry, go ahead.
No, it's not worth mentioning.
Not much to talk about in the Divas title match.
No.
We had a Ryback Open Challenge, my favorite part of the evening.
Ryback rules.
Thank you. I read a rumor that Mark Henry was seen on a flight to
Boston, Massachusetts.
Miami was Hell in a Cell. Yes. My mistake. So, rumor was he was going to answer the Open Challenge. He did. WrestleMania rematch. Very subpar performance on both parts.
At least the match didn't end with Mark Henry falling on top of Ryback.
Yeah. Well, I don't get them, man. I don't get creative. That was a chance for a WrestleMania moment. And I understand they wanted it to lead to Ryback getting frustrated and turning heel back at WrestleMania.
Didn't come across too well, though.
It did not. It just made him look weak. And Ryback is done.
Oh, absolutely.
His Feed Me More, his Unstoppable Force, that's all over with. And he's just another mid-card guy now.
I wouldn't be surprised if Ryback wasn't in WWE within a year or so, unfortunately.
I just think he doesn't bring... I mean, apparently he's in the doghouse because he used Goldberg's moves with
that. And has a bad attitude.
Yeah, yeah. Well, you hear that all the time. But that's the thing. If you have a bad attitude in WWE and you're not seen as a top star, you're gone.
Yep.
They got a lot of talent
They have no patience for bad attitude, it seems. Although what they consider a bad attitude is questionable, considering Ziggler's...
Oh, no, Dolph Ziggler said something wrong in an interview. We're going to put him in the doghouse.
I don't know what they're
doing. It's ridiculous.
Ziggler's a...
It was a really short match, Henry and Ryback, and it wasn't good.
Nope.
Henry's back with a bald head. I don't know. It didn't really do much for me. This is a Raw moment. Again, this is a Raw moment. This is not a pay-per-view
moment. Yeah, I was going to say, this is a Raw, maybe a SmackDown moment.
Even, yeah.
As far as Mark Henry's hair goes, it's about time. That hairline was receding like, Moses parting the Red Sea.
Oh, yeah.
Happy Hanukkah to our Jewish listeners, by the way.
I celebrated the first night last night. I will now recite the entire Hanukkah ceremony speech. And please... Oh, I'm getting texts from Jose while we're doing our show.
Who is nursing his injury. Yeah. I hear he pulled his groin in a... saxophone on a pole match against the great Power Udi.
Oh, wow. That sounds like a very entertaining bout. I can't wait to catch that one.
Yeah, whenever that's broadcast.
Regardless, continuing on here with the Survivor Series review. Another generic rematch here. John Cena defended the World Heavyweight title successfully against Alberto Del Rio. We've seen these guys go at it 6, 7, 8 too many times.
Yeah, more than I care for.
And it was so obvious. Another obvious outcome here that Cena was going to retain pretty much the same pacing and the same exact matches they had at Hell in a Cell. Again, not worth paying for.
Nope.
Too
many predictable matches in WWE these days.
Yeah,
no question. It's too easy to figure out who's going to win. Their formula has been used over, like, it's usually the winner of the pay-per-view match gets beat down the week before, makes them look weak.
Overcomes the odds at the pay-per-view. Yeah, it's true. Yeah, and that's exactly what they did with Cena. And if it's stale, no one has that underdog angle more stale than Cena, every time he does it. Cena's still the world champ. It wasn't a bad match, but we just see it too many times.
I stick by the idea of them putting Sandow in the match, keeping him involved in that feud somehow. Spice it up a little. Make things interesting for the fans.
CM Punk and Daniel Bryan defeated Luke Harper and Eric Rowan, which I was really disappointed.
So was I. I'm a fan of all the people in the match, particularly Bryan and Harper, as far as individuals from each team go. But Bryan and Punk didn't need to win in this fashion. And even if they did win, I would rather it was a sort of fluky roll-up type win or a disqualification. The Wyatts just didn't look good here.
I assume they're only pushing Bray. Bray Wyatt is the only guy that they're trying to build up as a menacing force here.
But even that came into question because after the match, Bray looked like he was going to challenge the two to a brawl of sorts. He got up on the apron and, you know, gave him a dirty look.
And that's the type of tease that we see on a free weekly show, and it finally happens at the pay-per-view.
And it amounted to nothing.
It was, like we see time and time again in modern professional wrestling, a glorified episode of a weekly show. Yep. No question. Harper did a really sweet sit-down powerbomb.
Off the top rope.
From the top rope.
That was an amazing spot. Probably the spot of the night.
Yeah, and they chanted, really "This is awesome."
It was a great match.
Yeah,
finish was not the right one. I mean, I'm not going to sit here, play armchair book, or pretend like I know everything. But to me, it seemed like, regardless of who got the pinfall, that the Wyatts should have come out looking strong and menacing and a force to reckon with.
It was a very anticlimactic finish.
Yep,
even the fans, the live crowd,
seemed a little confused.
They couldn't see they could not see, you know, you can anticipate when the finish is happening, and it came out of nowhere, And like I said, the pay-per-view ended early, so they really could have gone longer with this
a little
one.
Longer. And it didn't help that Punk was struggling to get Harper up for the GTS.
No, exactly. I mean, I think Punk's lost a little bit of his edge.
Oh, absolutely. I was going to mention that. Absolutely. Yeah. Ever since his title run ended, it seems like he just doesn't care as much.
And
that's Punk's problem, I find, is that he has a bit of a...
It's an ego
thing. Bit of an ego. Yeah,
yeah.
Absolutely. Unless it's a big match, like versus Lesnar or Undertaker. Those were both really great
matches. He underperforms, and he thinks... I mean, I don't know.
You don't know him personally.
I don't know him. I mean, I love CM Punk. Amazing performer. I love the character.
CM Punk, the guy.
I mean, I don't know the guy. I've heard things.
It doesn't come across so well. But if you are listening to this, Mr. Punk, nothing against you.
No. We're just trying to analyze some wrestling here.
Yes.
You know? Yeah. Decent match. Cool spot. Bad finish.
Yep.
That's like kind of the theme of Survivor Series.
Yes.
Except for the next match, which was just awful.
Man.
Randy Orton defeats The Big Show to retain the WWE title. Thank God.
Yes.
Big Show as WWE champion would have been awful.
That's something I do not want to see.
But if this was the are they hitting the reset button again? And based on this performance, are they just going to totally forget about Big Show Triple H?
I don't think...
Because it's going to be bad.
No, it will be bad. But it's hard to imagine this is what WWE has spent all those months building towards.
No.
This? They had to have known that this wasn't going to be good and that the crowd would not like it. And they didn't. They were totally out of it.
I don't think they knew.
They were cheering for Daniel Bryan during the match. They seemed disinterested. The crowd was dead. And even went into the crowd, and usually that gets people excited, but nothing.
Yeah, they were chanting boring, live crowd.
Boring, yep.
And WWE obviously lowered the crowd mic volume very obviously.
Oh, yeah.
The match was so loud all of a sudden and you couldn't hear the crowd at all.
Yep. And then there was
very embarrassing.
Absolutely. Speaking of embarrassing, there was a spot in the match where Big Show attempted to do a move off the top rope. Orton dropped him onto the top rope and tried to do his hangman DDT from the top rope. Big Show's feet slipped.
Huge fail.
Oh,
huge botch.
I almost felt bad for them in a way.
And he missed the punt.
Orton
did miss the punt. And very hard spot to do correctly.
Right, because you don't want to injure the guy.
No.
And that's wrestling in general. It's a lot harder than people think because a large part of it is protecting the guy you're doing the move to.
Yeah.
Sometimes moves just don't look as good because you're being extra careful. Like when Kane tombstoned Linda McMahon.
Yeah. And her head was like, you know,
half a foot from the.
And obviously, it has to be done. And they edit it in a highlight. You never see the core footage again. You only see a highlight package, you know, and it looks good.
Yeah.
So that's what will happen here.
And if WWE does something right, it's their highlight videos.
That's true. They're way better than the actual shows.
Oh.
If WWE was just a highlight video montage right now, it'd be great.
They'd be winning Emmy after Emmy after Emmy.
Triple H said there would be no physical interference, and he was right.
Yep.
But Triple H's music hit when it looked like Big Show is about to win the WWE title.
Thankfully.
Thank God. He finally screwed the right guy.
Yeah, exactly.
And Big Show got distracted. Orton hits the RKO and the punt to the head to retain the title.
I don't get why wrestlers are distracted by music. Like, okay, the music.
Haven't they learned their lesson by now?
Go back to, you know, competing.
Yeah. And it led to an interesting stare down between John Cena and Randy Orton.
Should have happened on Raw.
Exactly. And I tweeted, WWE is using pay-per-views to promote the next pay-per-views. Don't make me think what I just watched was totally worthless. Don't tell me to buy something as soon before this one's even over, you know?
Right. Grant, at least it's not like WrestleMania 27 where they used that show to promote next year's show.
Oh, yeah. Oh, God. You have to... Wrestling is expensive.
Yeah, absolutely.
And we're not the most wealthy people in the world. You have not noticed, okay?
That's what the TV show is for.
Exactly.
Is to convince you to buy the pay-per-view.
But once you buy the pay-per-view, they're just trying to convince you to tune in the next night on Raw and buy the next one. And it is a cycle. But they got to give the pay-per-views more value here.
I think the best idea would be to cut down on the amount of pay-per-views they have, allow for more build-up, and make them feel more special. Right now, the pay-per-views, to me, seem like glorified episodes of Raw.
A lot of them are. I'm trying to think of the last one that was, like, really good.
SummerSlam?
It was SummerSlam.
SummerSlam.
Payback was pretty good.
Payback was surprisingly good. For me, Payback was probably the show of the year until SummerSlam.
Yeah, it was...
Extreme Rules was all right, too.
Yes. Yeah, but Payback was the best show until SummerSlam.
SummerSlam, yeah. Money in the Bank was fun, too. Money in the Bank's always good, though. Because of the ladder matches.
Well, yeah, I mean, you can't really go wrong with high spots, you know?
Absolutely.
Orton Cena stare down after the match, and it led to a huge announcement on Raw, which we will get into very shortly. But first, Frank, thumbs up or thumbs down, or in the middle if you want, for Survivor Series.
How's about I do one thumb in the middle
and
another thumb down?
Okay, yeah, it's fair. It's a fair assumption.
So
assessment is what I meant to say.
So would that be like a thumb on a negative 45 degree angle?
It'd be an angle.
Not completely down, because there were some good stuff on the show. No reason to care, though. It was meaningless.
I was entertained because I'm a wrestling guy.
Yeah, and there was good wrestling on the show.
I'm a huge WWE mark.
Really? I didn't know that.
You would never know.
No.
I got to give it a thumb in the middle. Entertaining, not enough value for the high price. No longer, still no significance, and especially not a big four anymore.
Oh, absolutely not.
So... we want to know what you guys thought of Survivor Series. Hit us up on Twitter at After the Count. And, you know, thumbs up, thumbs down, thumb in the middle, thumb in the bum, whatever you want. Steve Carino, shout out to you right there. But, yeah, we're going to transition here into our weekly Raw review. we mentioned that huge monumental announcement.
Hey, listen, whatever you're into, it's none of my business.
It's whatever floats your boat. Triple H came out. To open up Raw.
Again.
Again. Mm. He opens up every pay-per-view now.
I'm sick of it. I'm sorry. I mean, Triple H is a good heel.
Yeah. Way better as a heel.
Yeah, but these opening monologues are just painfully boring.
Well, they're all the same.
Yeah.
He announced that due to whatever Cena and the Authority were talking about at Survivor Series and due to the stare down after the show, after Survivor Series, it will be John Cena versus Randy Orton in a tables, ladders, and chairs match at TLC in 3 weeks for both the World Heavyweight title and WWE title.
Yes.
Is this a unification match? We don't know for sure. Because in the promo, he said he wants there to be one champion. Cena wants there to be one champion. And in the Wednesday interview that they do with Triple H.
And Michael Cole.
Yes.
Don't forget Michael Cole.
He hinted that he thought it would be a unification. But there's rumors going around that maybe they don't want that moment to happen right away.
Right. The idea or the rumor that's been floating around is that Cena will grab the WWE Championship and Orton will grab the World Heavyweight Championship.
And
essentially,
they'll switch.
Flipping their roles.
Nobody gets hurt, and it's going to be a good match.
It'll be a good match, but it's sort of like Del Rio and Cena. We've seen it already, and a lot of the fans would rather see other people in that position.
Here's the difference, though. I think when you're having a unification match, you have to have the best of the heels, the ultimate heel versus the ultimate face.
Is Cena the ultimate face? Is Orton the ultimate heel?
Maybe not anymore. A few years ago, yes. I think...
This feels like a blast to the past, really.
It's like a
2010, 2009.
Yeah, no question. Well, yeah. 9, they had that, like, four-month pay-per-view feud.
And mind you, those matches are pretty good. I wasn't watching during the time, but I went back and watched that Iron Man match.
The bragging rights.
Really good.
Yeah. I think they had the potential... I mean, I think they work well together.
Yeah.
It's been a while, obviously, but I think they have the potential to have a good match here, and I think unification is right.
Oh, absolutely. It's the right idea. It's been the right idea for a long time. Ever since the brand split ended, there was no point in having two world titles. I mean, it doesn't make sense.
No.
And considering the fact that the World Heavyweight Championship is a glorified mid-card belt and worth not nearly as much as it used to be, this is the only solution. And I'm glad they're doing it. I'm not sure if we'll see a title swap, as the rumor suggests.
I think they
keep making allusions to Jericho winning the Undisputed Championship 11 years ago.
Yeah.
At the December pay-per-view, by the way.
Which was Vengeance.
Vengeance 2000.
Which no longer is on this schedule.
No.
Brought it back in 2011 for a bit.
Yes.
But I'm excited for TLC.
I suppose.
Always a good show. And
it is always a good show.
I don't see how that can possibly be a step down from Survivor Series. That's why I'm so excited.
The bar has been set pretty low. Although it's a shame that the TLC match is being used for the WWE Championship, when I was hoping that it would be used for the Tag Team Championship.
Like a road shield type.
Well, like a four-team.
Yeah, but they can still have the maybe they'll have the ladder.
I feel like they should switch those around, have the WWE Championship with the ladder and the TLC match for the tag team. Because I don't think Orton and Cena are going to have more than one or two table spots.
They'll go through a table once each of them.
Yeah, whereas in the tag team match, they'll go through tens
It'll
of tables.
It'll be anarchy, yeah.
I mean, I think that's what the TLC match should be saved for, is that sort of chaotic style.
Which the Rhodes, the Usos, the Shield, even
Cesaro and Swagger.
Americans could provide that as well, even though we haven't really seen much of that from them.
I'm sure they're capable of it.
Yeah, no question. A lot of Survivor Series rematches.
Raw is Survivor Series.
No question. It was Survivor Series and it was tag team matches this past week.
Which is a recurring theme. Not that I'm complaining. The tag team matches have been fun.
Yeah. The Shield teamed up to take on Rey Mysterio, Cody Rhodes, and Goldust. So pretty much the significant, you know, it was the biggest aspects of the Survivor Series match are coming at it again here.
And this was the best match of the night, in my opinion.
Of course,
again.
Because
the Shield and the Rhodes
are involved. Reigns continues his domination, spearing everything in sight.
Yes.
But again, Cody Rhodes takes the pinfall.
And this time, Ambrose gets the pin.
So Ambrose redeems himself.
A little.
But Cody doesn't.
Nope.
What do they see in Goldust in the long run? Are they trying to build him up as more of a threat to Cody when they eventually fight at WrestleMania?
That could be the idea. I figure that's the only idea. I mean, I can't think of anything else.
It was a great match.
It was.
But much meaning, no.
No. And that's the larger problem with Raw lately, is that they've been meaningless. They haven't really built towards anything.
No. I think when the Rhodes reclaimed their jobs at Battleground, which was like a great, amazing match, and
a great moment too.
Exactly. Should have closed the show.
Absolutely.
Then people wouldn't have been so pissed with the ending of the big show.
I genuinely marked out for the end of that match.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, people who mock wrestling call it stupid. Look at that.
Yeah.
That was a wonderful
hard moment. Work pays off.
Absolutely.
You know? And that's what
And it doesn't take too much. A bit of build-up. A reason to care.
Yeah.
That's all you need.
That was good storytelling.
It was. Why can't there be more of that?
They can only do so much. Mark Henry and Big E Langston formed the world's strongest tag team and the world's biggest tag team, maybe aside from Big Show and Kane.
I wouldn't want to meet these two on a bad day in a dark alley. Nope.
And they pretty much squash Curtis Axel.
And Ryback. Ryback rules, kind of.
I'm starting to doubt it.
What are you going to do with the t-shirt?
I don't know, man. I'm going to have to burn it. I mean, nobody respected me when he was over.
Now, will
and
it,
I said that was a
Will it be
fan.
Like a ceremonial burning, or will it be like a burning in effigy?
Oh, no, it'll be ceremonial.
take out into, like, the mountains and have one of those, like, Buddhist...
And I will be wearing a leotard.
A singlet.
Singlet, sorry.
Will you shave your head, though?
Oh, yes, obviously. Mark Henry ended up pinning Curtis Axel.
World's strongest slam.
Short match, nothing special.
Gave him something to do.
Henry and Langston could potentially be a very good team down the road. Maybe not for match performance, but definitely for, you know, WWE likes to emphasize that big guy
certainly
aspect.
Intimidating.
Yeah, no question. We had a straight rematch from Survivor Series. The same 7-on-7 elimination match from Survivor Series they redid on Raw. Maybe, like, why? Because the announcer botched the ending? Or what? Because they really just don't care about giving us good value on the show?
My guess is the latter.
Yeah, I throughout this Raw, I kept feeling bad about purchasing Survivor Series.
As you should have.
Yeah, I mean, I felt bad about it in the first place because I knew it wasn't going to be very good.
This just cemented the fact.
Yeah, no question. They rematch after rematch after rematch after and all the interesting angles that happened on Raw should have happened on Survivor Series, and they flipped the two shows. The sole survivors were the Bellas and Eva Marie in this one.
Mm.
Well, this seems more like a Raw finish because they're trying to get that mainstream attention for Eva Marie and the Bellas for Total Divas, right?
Which is sad, really. It's disappointing. I mentioned earlier I had high hopes for the women's stuff. Really, I did.
Yeah.
Things were looking really good in the summer. And ever since the reality show came around.
No longer.
Things
but
have
I
changed.
Get it. I understand.
Perhaps. I mean... Does them winning really have an effect on the show? Like, will it prevent people from watching?
I always thought that someone from Total Divas should end up winning the belt at the end of it.
I hope not.
I hope not, but...
I just don't see any of them as legitimate.
No, but I feel like that, you know, they're trying to sell to mainstream fans who maybe don't watch every show because it does air at the same time as pay-per-views. It's on 10 to 11 on Sundays, you know, so...
So they're not really appealing to the same audience, are they?
I don't think so, no.
But not sure what they're thinking.
AJ tapped out to the sharpshooter from Natalya two nights in a row. So
no, she pinned Natalya and then was eliminated by Nikki Bella.
What?
Or Brie Bella.
What match was I watching?
Were you even paying attention?
I guess I must have not been because I who did Natalya made somebody tap out?
Tamina maybe?
That's the thing with these 7-on-7
My friend
matches.
Brian's future wife, by the way, Tamina.
Oh, really?
Yeah, he's really into her.
Attractive woman. Unique tastes.
You know.
We had another
whatever one. Floats your boat, right?
Exactly.
We've established this already.
Yes. Another gimmick match in the app, though. We had a Hamptons hardcore match as Damian Sandow went on to defeat Dolph Ziggler.
These matches have been giving me a bit of a hardcore title vibe.
Yeah, like almost like WCW Norman Smiley style. I don't know if you're aware of Norman Smiley.
I know who he is.
Yeah, but he was a very funny hardcore champion, but maybe not the most talented in the ring. Sandow evens it up here with Ziggler 1-1.
I'm guessing they have a rubber match.
I assume so. I don't know where they are. Next week from Raw, but I assume it'll be set because it was the Hamptons hardcore match and they were in Long Island. They also had like the Long Island lumberjack match, which I actually voted for. But
I don't need to see a lumberjack match. It does give people a reason to be on TV who otherwise wouldn't.
Well, it's like the only time they called
JTG.
Yeah, and Zack Ryder. So
I can't believe he still has a job.
I know, right? Or even guys like it was the lumberjack match at Payback. The three stages of hell. The first stage was Lumberjack. Ted DiBiase Jr.
His last appearance,
yeah.
I think.
Yeah, well, they turned him face, and everything went downhill from there. And, I mean, I always thought he was going to be the more successful
of members
Legacy. But Rhodes
Between
totally Rhodes. Took over.
Yeah. Ever since Rhodes won the Intercontinental Championship with the mask, and I knew he was a huge star in the making. I mean, there were a few bumps along the way, but it looks like it's working out for him.
So you take Punk and Bryan versus Harper and Rowan, and you add Bray Wyatt, and you have a 3-on-2 handicap match that sounds a lot better than the Survivor Series match, and the right ending that actually tells a story. Sure, it ended in disqualification when all the entire Wyatt family attacked...
And the referee lost control.
You know, I read in the results it was a DQ. I initially thought it was no contest. Doesn't really matter here. Nobody wins, nobody loses. But they had a huge brawl to end the match. So there was a huge brawl to end the match. And the match ended in DQ, as mentioned. And Daniel Bryan was abducted by the Wyatts. And now this is the finish that probably should have happened at Survivor Series. One that, you know, added something new to the story and wasn't just a generic finish, you know?
Didn't add anything.
No, it didn't add anything whatsoever. And it was, you know, as good at wrestlers as Punk and Bryan are.
And Harper.
And Harper.
Harper's a really good wrestler.
When Punk and Bryan go over in a clean fashion...
Does nothing for either of them.
No, it doesn't.
Punk and Bryan are already over.
Yeah.
With the crowd.
It doesn't do anything for
them. They have nothing to lose.
And it really, really hurts the Wyatt family.
Absolutely. So this helped them considerably. Made them look like the intimidating freaks from Louisiana that they should be.
Punk looked to... go after Daniel Bryan after
and
he was...
was subsequently flattened...
by...
Roman Reigns.
And he's... I mean, I feel like he's the new... He should get, like, the A-Train gimmick or something, you know? Just, like, come
just
out with, like,
bowling over people.
Yeah. But Punk cut a promo before this match and said, kind of, you know, bad-mouthing the Authority. Obviously, the Shield works for only the Authority and nobody else. This is Punk starting down the road of getting involved
in the Authority storyline.
Yes.
Might I add, during that promo, tons of references.
Yeah.
That was kind of cool.
You know, anything that that can add to a match that... Because here's the thing. If for people that didn't buy the pay-per-view, they must have been feeling awesome. But for people that did, man, I bought it in HD. That's $10 extra.
Was that $55?
$54.99.
Oh, man. That'll buy you a lot of stuff.
Or one pay-per-view that I could have pretty much seen the next night in Raw for free.
Oh, well. You win some, you lose some. Losing some, mostly, with...
Lose most.
Yeah, with these pay-per-views as of late.
The kickoff may have been free, but why are we seeing Miz Kofi Kingston again? It just makes me feel that everything I invested my time into went totally down the drain.
This is the problem with the show being 3 hours long. Lots of filler, a lot of meaningless stuff. And this is really when it started to become a drag to watch.
And that's the thing. Miz goes over again. Good. But it's just a waste.
And is he a face or heel? Or?
Well, he had that weird thing with Michael Strahan from...
Or should I say Michael Strahan?
I think he was... I thought Titus... was turning heel when he came out and was kind of making
mocking
fun of
him.
Michael, right?
Yeah.
But then they all kind of shook hands after. And yeah, you know, oh, we're just playing around, blah, blah, blah. I don't know if Miz is still heel. They may have just said, you know what, that didn't work. People don't really care. And I don't think they do. But that's the thing. WWE really goes back on things too quickly. Sometimes you got to
go... No commitment.
No commitment. If it doesn't work right away, they take it off
no
the
patience.
Script. Exactly. And I think that... I hope we're not seeing that with The Miz. Get him to a top heel spot again.
Or at least a mid-card heel spot.
I mean, you did it the first time. You did it the first time.
He main evented WrestleMania.
In a bad match.
Probably the worst WrestleMania main event of all time. I mean, can you think of a worse? Maybe Bigelow versus Lawrence Taylor?
Oh, God.
Maybe. But...
There hasn't been a weaker main event in a long time.
Yeah.
At least they're giving WrestleMania value still.
Right, yeah. Yeah, so there's that. Hopefully that doesn't change. But Raw often is a chore to watch. I still think they should go back to 2 hours.
It apparently was just to sell more advertising space.
So I guess they're not going to go back because they're making good money off of it. And I understand. I'm not naive to that. But as a viewer, it's annoying. I mean, I expected the third hour to allow for younger mid-card talent to have more time, but really all they're doing is just stretching 2 hours into 3 hours.
No question.
And we've said
that from day one since Raw went 3 hours. Now, I'm not sure if Brodus Clay is about to get released or something, but Xavier Woods came out to his music with the Funkadactyls with the same pyro and was dancing. Xavier Woods replaced Brodus Clay for one night on Raw. I don't know if this is his new gimmick.
Maybe he's going to come out with different themes and entrances.
It's going to be a total waste. Why can't they just take these new guys seriously?
And give him his own gimmick and get people to care about Xavier Woods and not Xavier Woods as Brodus Clay. One thing worth mentioning about this segment, the star of this segment was not Xavier Woods or Heath Slater or R-Truth, but instead, the Kosher Butcher.
Oh, yeah. Not everybody loves the Kosher Butcher.
In fact, during this match, the crowd was chanting for circumcision.
Oh, God.
The Kosher Butcher's finishing maneuver.
Well, I think it is appropriate considering we're near Hanukkah.
It is, but I don't think I ever expected a crowd to cheer for circumcision.
That was a little bit inappropriate. I don't think the WWE officials were too pleased with that.
I was pleased with it. I got a kick out of that.
Uniondale crowd. Woods goes on to defeat Slater.
As expected.
The crowd was dead. That's what happens when you put it before the main event. Third hour, crowd's dead on Raw all the time.
Yep.
The main event was a combination of the two world title matches at Survivor Series. We saw John Cena and The Big Show go on to defeat Alberto Del Rio and Randy Orton. I thought this was a good main event in the sense that it's a good way to start the build-up to TLC.
I suppose it prevents Orton and Cena from directly going one-on-one, but as a match.
Because that's, you know, if they tease it for many weeks, it's natural to feel anticipation, you know, when Cena and Rock did not exchange at all.
Nope.
During their first run with each other until the last month. Yeah. And I craved it. I hated Cena and The Rock, but I wanted to see them go at it more than anything.
I was genuinely happy when The Rock
and sure, we've seen Orton and Cena go at it many, many times before, but I think keeping them away from each other is a good thing.
Yeah, no, it usually is a good thing. As you said, creates anticipation, which has been lacking lately. As a match, not particularly interesting. Completely
nothing
average.
Go match wise, storytelling wise though, and build up wise, I think it was good.
I guess I was totally tuned out by the end of the show.
Well,
I mean,
most
burned
people
out.
Are by the end of the third hour, no question.
No reason. I had no reason to really care too much. Unfortunately,
Big Show is going with the whole concussion angle, so I assume that writes him out for a while. I mean, he's no good at TLC unless he's in a chairs match with that giant Big Show chair. He can't go through a table very well. He can't climb a ladder. No. We know that much. He got a lot of kicks in the head from Del Rio and obviously the punts in the head the previous night. Trainers took a look at him. Referees took a look at him. Big Show seems to be out with a concussion right now.
Not missing anything with him gone.
Cena makes Del Rio tap out.
Again. Or not again.
It was
but
AA at Survivor Series, right, correct? Yeah.
But he gets the fall on Del Rio.
So, with that being said, match-wise, we had decent matches on Survivor Series, and we had decent matches on Raw. I think storytelling-wise and drama-wise, because wrestling is so much more than just competition these days, I think Raw told the better story, and I think a lot of the finishes we saw on Raw should have happened on Survivor Series.
Absolutely.
Thus, as a Raw that you're not paying for, I gotta give it, you know what, I'm giving it a thumbs 3/4. So basically, it's between a middle and an up.
So upward at a 45-degree angle.
Exactly. It's not a great Raw by any means. But I think I don't think we can expect every Raw to have a Cena Punk number one contenders match. I don't know if you saw that.
I did.
Four or five star match.
Great match, yeah. I'm gonna have to go with thumbs in the middle. Didn't keep my interest the entire way through. Towards the end, got really I don't want to say stale, but I was burned out.
Yeah.
I wanted it to be over with.
Regardless of how good Raw is, that's often the case with the 3-hour Raws.
I couldn't really find a reason to care for a lot of what happened. So I'm going to have to say thumbs in the middle. The only reason it's not a thumbs down is the opening contest and the Wyatt
I just think it was such a – I think – I just thought it was superior to Survivor Series. I think if Survivor Series hadn't been the night before, obviously my thoughts on this Raw would have been a lot –
different.
Poorer than they are. But I you know what, I enjoyed it. But you know, two nights in a row of 3 hours of wrestling, it's hard to do when it's all the same. It's hard to do when WWE is in as stale of a spot.
They're
as they
are.
They're
in a bit of a lull.
Yeah, no question. There. And apparently Survivor Series was hitting the reset button. And it was to be honest, dude, I'm gonna go out on a limb here. I enjoyed Battleground more than I did Survivor Series.
I agree.
It was a better pay-per-view.
It was.
And I rewatched Orton Bryan with the DQ, or with the no contest, no bell.
Bad finish, good match.
The match was great. Way better than their Night Champions match, and actually better than their Hell in a Cell match, too.
I agree.
And I think if they had closed Battleground with...
with a proper finish.
Yes.
Maybe a 3.5, 4-star pay-per-view.
Yeah. We want to know what you guys thought of last Monday's Raw. Hit us up on Twitter at After the Count, and check out our website, afterthecount2013.wordpress.com. And you know, if you got ideas for us for the show, hit us up on Twitter, hit us up on the website. Get a hold of us somehow. We want to hear from you.
And you're not going to give them your phone number, are you?
No, no. That's, hey, if you guys message me, private message me. If I think you're cool, I'll give you my phone number.
What about snail mail? Don't do snail mail?
No, no. Nobody does that. Well, Frank, thanks for filling in for Jose today.
You're welcome.
On a rather depressing episode of After the Count.
Yeah.
Another WWE pay-per-view that is kind of lackluster and not really worth the money. Gone are the days of
getting your money's worth.
Yeah, I mean, if this is the norm, then I think soon we'll become accustomed to it. But the thing is...
there's just so much talent on the roster. I really want something good to come out of it, you know?
Hitting the reset button did not work, and I think it would have made more sense, and there would have been more story if WWE had gone with the continued down the Team WWE versus Team Authority Survivor Series angle, which mm-hmm. was everybody kind of saw that coming before they hit the reset button.
Yeah.
And possibly, you know, maybe...
I think the SummerSlam pay-per-view numbers were, or was, a red herring of sorts. I think, again, as I mentioned last week, the problem isn't with size or Daniel Bryan. It's the fact they just don't have established stars like they used to.
That Big Show. Let's just get this straight. WWE, I love you, but Big Show is not the answer. Big Show is not the answer, please. Well, we're out of time for this episode of After the Count. Frank, thank you for filling in for Jose.
Not a problem.
Jose will be
Hope
back
he feels
next
better.
Week. Yeah, yeah. Hopefully he repairs that groin.
That strained groin.
Be sure to subscribe on iTunes, as we hope you already have. And we'll see you next week. Thanks for listening.
Take care.